Welcome to Kidman Talk, your weekly Kidman Pit Stop, where you can take a break from the busyness of life and ministry and get some quick fine-tuning from Kidology.org. Our mission is to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Today's show is sponsored by the letter Q. And what could the Kidman keyword be for the letter Q? Is it quality, quantity, quarterly meetings? How about for those wanting to quit? Well, if that's where you are at, guess what? That is exactly what I am going to encourage you to do today. So why don't you take a few minutes, grab a drink, and just sit back and relax. Let go of all of your stress and your worries and whatever it is that's on your mind, getting you kind of worked up and upset or stressed out. Just sit back and let's talk Kidman. That's right. Today's podcast, our Kidman keyword for today is the letter Q, and the word is quit, because we're going to talk about quitting children's ministry. That's right. In fact, right now, if your boss isn't around, because I don't want him to know this, but I want you to quit. I just want you to just quit your job. So right now, you're fired, okay? You are no longer the children's pastor. You're no longer a director, coordinator, administrator, whatever your title is, you know, you're fired, okay? Now, don't tell your boss, okay, because you're going to be rehired at the end of the podcast, okay? But for right now, if you have a business card handy, if there's one on your desk or in your wallet or in your purse, I want you to take one out, and I want you just to rip it in half. I'm serious. Do it. Here, I'm going to take one of mine, and I'm going to rip it in half, okay? There you go. I just ripped my business card in half, okay? Because you need to do it. Because so often we get our identity wrapped up in our job, and you are not your job, okay? Sometimes we get so carried away in what we do and all these things that we've got to get done and all these openings and all these things that are going wrong, and we get all worked up and we get all stressed out, and we can't sleep at night, and we get to work and we got all these things to do and we just don't know where to begin, and we get all worked up. And sometimes I know, because I've been there many times, and we just want to quit. We just want to throw in the towel, and we just want to quit. So I'm giving you permission. Just quit. Just absolutely quit. In fact, sometimes you need to quit on a daily basis. And in fact, if you've been listening to the podcast for years, and or maybe you've listened to the archives, you may remember that my good buddy Gus, he actually did a rap once in the past, and we're going to bring it back by popular demand. I've invited Gus on the show today just briefly because, you know, some people, you know, they don't really like Gus. We had, you know, we did the market research and all that, but I've invited him back in the day today just to do his Too Blessed to Be Stressed rap. Okay, Gus, come here, Gus. Oh, I get to be on the podcast today. You get to be on the podcast today. Oh, awesome. It's good to have you back. Today's a special guest. I am honored to be here. And Gus, I just want you to do your rap. Oh, good. I want to do this rap. Yeah, I'm gonna do a good job. All right, because Gus, we need to remind ourselves that we are too blessed to be stressed. Okay. I'm gonna do a good job. All right, because you know you haven't done this rap in a while, and we got some great feedback, and people love it because you just have a way of helping us laugh about all the things that we have to do that stress us out and help us remind us that despite all these crazy things that we have to do in ministry, that we are indeed too blessed to be stressed. So hit it, Gus. All right, here it goes.
Too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Uh-huh, I'm too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Uh-huh, I'm too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. You heard me, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Stressed out, head's gonna explode, got more to do, the time to show, short volunteers, forms to fill, budgets cut, recruits are nil, senior pastor on line one, don't wanna answer till the memo's done, lines two and three are also blinking, more work for me is what I'm thinking, posters to make, flyers to print, voicemail backlog, take a hint, emails, no end in sight, the bulletin board's outdated, it's a fright, but I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed. Uh-huh, I'm too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. You heard me, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Or Rasta got holes, so do the walls. New theme this month, must deck the halls. 10 references written, and no one said thanks. Oops, gotta fill that helium tank. Teacher calls, said a room and I heat, and now I'm late for dead staff meeting. Gotta sit there, more work collecting. Listen to rambling about song selection. Pastor turns to me, I know that motion. It was my turn for staff devotion. Keep calm, stay in the flow. Share a humdinger from years ago, cause I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed to stress. Too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Curriculum used up, must reorder. Losing my mind, I'm on the border. New service, now on Saturday night. Better have childcare, oh that's right. New workers, needed ASAP, but screened and clean. They must be this one. Once was an arson, the other guy, a grand theft larceny. I take home paper, I am making. Janitor comes in, belly aching. Then parent calls, she is mad. Someone told her son is bad. Got papers piling in front of me. Electronic ones clogging my PC. Voicemail message said it is full. How long can I keep my cool? Edit that video, upload a file. Stale mail comes in, toss it in a pile. Stats to report, again I'm guessing. Kids church gotta plan that lesson. Too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. I decided long ago, the kids I love, when I got my call from above. Children's ministry is where it is at, but now administration is threatening that. With so much to do, and so much on me, it's time to log on to Kidology. Too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed, too blessed to be stressed. Log on to Kidology. Too blessed to be stressed.
Well, thanks, Gus, for that. Hey, anytime, you just call me back. I'll host the show for you, Pastor Carl. If you ever want to go on vacation or anything, I appreciate that. But thanks for dropping by. Oh, anytime. I got to get back to work. Back to work. Yeah. I got important things to do, man. I got business deals. I got my business card. I got my business case. I got stuff to do, man. Business deals.
All right. You get back to your business.
I got business.
All right. You get back to your business. Anyway, well, great to have Gus drop by. Anyway, that was a great podcast that Gus was a part of last couple years ago. And anyway, people got some great emails on that. But man, he described it so well. All this stuff is happening. And, you know, it's hard to keep that focus of being too blessed to be stressed. In fact, I've got a button and I even have a hat with that expression on it, too blessed to be stressed. But I don't wear that out in public because I'm afraid of some really stressed out person just punching my lights out. But I have that button and I've got that hat and I sometimes have them out just as a reminder that that I am very blessed and we can be so focused that it's hard to keep that perspective. But we need to remind ourselves that when we are stressed, that stress is caused primarily by worry or overload, both of which are often optional. However, I do understand that it's easier said than done. And I don't pretend to be one who lives daily in this blessed, you know, stress-free bliss. In fact, quite to the contrary, I often feel the stress coming down on me too. You know, I know that that it's easy to sit here and tell you don't be stressed when it's something that I deal with as well. We all struggle with that and we've all been in that place. So what is the secret to not being stressed? And the secret is understanding that when we are stressed out, it is because we have taken the ministry and we have taken it away from God and we have taken it upon ourselves. And so we do seriously need to quit. We need to quit taking the ministry away from God and putting it upon ourselves. When we get stressed out, we are actually insulting God. We're saying, God, you're not doing a good job of this, and so I'm going to have to take care of this because you're obviously blowing it. You're obviously not staffing the ministry. You're obviously not taking care of these things. And so, man, since you're blowing it, I got to do it because obviously somebody's got to take care of this, and you're not doing it, so I've got to take care of it. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips here. And I want you to write these down. They're in the show notes, but you might want to take some notes. But we've got to get this through our head. Number one, we've got to get it in our head that it is not our ministry. Now, it's easy for us to say that, but it's harder for us to believe that. And this may sound harsh, but we've got to hear it. And we've got to say it to ourselves out loud that it's not our ministry. Say that after me. It's not my ministry. Out loud, right now, wherever you are, even if there's people around, I want you to say that out loud. It's not my ministry. Say it. Did you say it? If you didn't, say it out loud. It's not my ministry. You see, it's God's ministry, and God is quite capable of running it without you. Listen to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you stress over your ministry, you have taken the ministry away from God, and you have made it your responsibility to solve its problems. So when you have problems and you're stressed out about them, you are saying, man, I've got to solve them yourself. And you've got to relinquish those responsibilities. When there are things that are not working right, instead of being stressed over them, you've got to realize that maybe there's a reason why God is allowing those problems. See, God is more about building you than he is about building your ministry. And sometimes when there are things that are not working out, it's because God's trying to do something. And sometimes we've got to step back a little bit and say, maybe there's something God is up to here. Maybe there's something he's trying to teach me. Maybe when a program is not being staffed, it's because God doesn't want that program. You ever thought about that? Maybe he's trying to kill an ineffective program so that you will actually start something else. Maybe he wants some classes combined. Maybe he's trying to get rid of someone that he doesn't want in that ministry. Maybe he's trying to change things. Maybe he's trying to open up something for somebody new. You know, one time I had a wonderful Sunday school director, and early in the year when we were working on fall recruiting, which by the way should happen in the spring, and I was talking to her about who she thought should be in these different classes, and there was a second grade opening, and I said, you know, who do you have available for the second grade class? And she said, well, here's some names of people who are potentials, but I really don't think that they're best. And she gave me their reasons, and they were good reasons, and she had some prospects, but this person she didn't think was the best one because of their knowledge of the Word of God, and this other person she didn't think was the best because they weren't very committed or weren't very regular. And I don't remember all the reasons, but she had a reason for eliminating each of her prospects, and they were good reasons, but it meant that she didn't have anyone for second grade. And we went through the rest of the spring, and we went through the rest of the summer, and as the fall was getting closer, she began to lower her standards, and she began to really want to put some of these people that she had earlier eliminated for that class. And I kept saying, you know, this is God's class, and if God has not brought someone into this class, we have to trust that he has a reason. And she began to get very frustrated with me because I was not letting her put any of these people into the class, because ultimately I had to approve the teachers. And this is a wonderful woman, and she loved those kids, and she loved the classroom. And as the end of August came and the first kickoff Sunday of September approached, she really was twisting my arm to put someone in there that earlier, months before, when there was no pressure, she had said she did not want in there. And so I said, I'm going to stick with your judgment back when there was no pressure, and I will not approve those people. And she was getting kind of upset with me in a godly way, righteous indignation. And I held my line. I said, I don't want to say her name, but I said, I will not let you put one of those people in there. We'll not approve it. Well, we got to be the week before the fall. And she said, well, then who am I to put in there? I said, tell you what, I'll teach it. And she said, no, Carl, you're the children's pastor. You're too busy. I will teach it next Sunday. And I said, well, I don't want you teaching it, you know, if you're upset with me and you're the Sunday school director and you've got other things to do. And she said, no, you should not have to teach it. I will teach it. And I knew she wouldn't do it, you know, with bitterness or bad attitude. And so she actually had to teach the second grade classroom because I would not approve anybody else to teach it. And I'm feeling a little bad about this. But at the same time, I believe that it was God's classroom. And if God was not providing a second grade teacher, he had to have a reason. I had to stick to my convictions on this. Well, that Sunday morning, after the morning service, a Moody Bible Institute student visited our church, and Moody's 30 miles away from our church, and he went up to our senior pastor, and he said, you know, I'm a Moody student, and my girlfriend lives out here, so I'm going to be coming all the way out here and attending church here, and, you know, my passion is second grade kids. Is there any chance that you might have an opening in your second grade class, even if I can just be the teacher's assistant? The pastor brings him over to me and he says, you know, it's the first week, the classes are probably already full, but, you know, Carl, is there any chance he could even just be an assistant in your second grade class? I'm just dying inside. And I says, you know, would you come over here and talk to again, I almost said her name, but I don't want to say her name. Would you come over here and talk to our Sunday school director? And so I led this young Moody Bible Institute Bible college student over to my Sunday school director. And I said, this is a young man who's a Moody Bible Institute Bible college student. And he just wants to know if there's any chance that we might have a second grade teaching position open, even if he can only be the teacher's assistant. And her eyes welled up with tears. She said, actually, that is the only class that we have open. In fact, I had to teach it this morning. You may have that class. Imagine if I had lowered my standards and allowed this lady to lower her standards, and we had put in one of those other people that she really didn't feel was right months before. He would have been stuck being the assistant. But here we were able to put him in and give him that class that he felt called to. You see, that was God's class. And God knew in his foreknowledge, which he didn't bother to tell us, that he was sending a Moody Bible Institute student who had a passion for that age. But we had to have the trust and the conviction to wait for God's answer to that class, because God loved those second graders more than we did. And he was sending a teacher. Because see, that was God's ministry. And I had to have the trust to never be stressed about that class. And I had to demonstrate that trust to my Sunday school director. And I had to be a Jedi and just never be stressed, never be worried. I had to pray. But I had to keep saying to her, this is God's ministry. We can't stress over this. God loves those second graders more than we do. And over I saw this. I saw this in the appointing of a WANA commander and saying, we will not have a WANA unless we have a WANA commander 2 months before the fall. And when that 2 months came and we didn't have a WANA commander, then I compromised and said, well, all right, we'll start a WANA in October if we have a commander by August 1st. And when that deadline came, and I said, well, we're not going to have a WANA. And I had every director position in place. And I mean, and this was a church that, you know, like bled four colors if we didn't have a WANA. And a WANA was in my job description. Mm-hmm. And I had to bring my senior pastor to my CMT meeting because they knew they were going to ask me to be the WANA commander. And I was going to be a terrible WANA commander. I don't have the gifts, the details, skills to be an WANA commander. That is an incredibly detail-oriented position. And yet, that deadline came, and then a man came forward. His name was Dave, and he said, God told me at the closing WANA ceremony when we thanked Chuck, the outgoing commander, God told me I was going to be your WANA commander. Now, why did Dave not tell me back in May that he was the new commander? Because he was a humble man, and he wanted to see if anyone else was going to step forward, and he wanted to see if I was going to fly in and rescue the club. But when I let those deadlines go by, he knew that was his affirmation that he was God's man. He stepped up and became an incredible WANA commander, one of the best I'd ever had. And he needed to know that it was only him that was to be the man for the job. And over, story after story, I could go on for an hour of trusting this is God's ministry, not mine. I don't have to fly in with a cape and save the club. I have to trust God. And the times that there wasn't that miraculous, you know, 11th hour, 59 minute person, then we had to redesign the club or redesign the ministry or cancel the ministry. And then we found, oh, God wanted to do a new thing. So you've got to believe that it's not your ministry. It's God's ministry. And he knows it better than you. He loves it more than you. Number two, so you've got to let others hear you talk about the ministry as God's ministry. When you begin to talk about the ministry as God's ministry and not allow yourself to be the band-aid for everything that goes wrong, people will get the message and begin to respond. Know this, people will let you do everything and anything that you're willing to do. I mean, they think that you're the best at everything. Now, if you're still at the stage where you think you're the best at everything, you're in trouble. You're not. And also, even if you're better at something, someone else doing something 75% as good as you is still better than you doing everything, okay? But it's also an illusion that you're better at everything. And even if you can do something better, someone else doing something a little less as glamorous or shiny as you is still better because you're equipping the saints to do the ministry. But you need to spread the load. You need to let other people do things. And they need to hear you talk about the ministry as being God's ministry, not your ministry. And let people know that you see the ministry as God's ministry and the ministry of others. And let them hear you talk about it that way. Don't refer to it as your children's ministry and your workers and your rooms and your equipment, you know, but as God's ministry in our rooms and our ministry, so that people begin to see that that's the way that you think. And when you start to believe that in your heart and make that your vocabulary and your language and the way you operate, it will completely change the way that other people see it and the way they react, and their trust in God will actually go up as well. So let me give you a couple of practical steps that you can take to quit and to give your ministry back to God. And then I'm going to rehire you so you'll get your paycheck, okay? Or if you're a volunteer, so you can keep your job and keep your eternal paycheck coming, all right? Number one, give the ministry back to God in prayer. And it may actually take some confession. You may need to actually say to God, I am sorry that I have taken the ministry away from you and put that a burden upon myself. So number one, you need to give the ministry back to God in prayer. And I would consider even writing it out so you can be thoughtful and thorough. Confess acting like it's your job to fix everything and to staff everything and to run everything. You need to confess it so that you have treated God like a volunteer in your ministry who needed to bless your plans and solve your problems. That you've been going to God and saying, God, I need you to do this, and God, I need you to do that, and God, you got to fix everything. Instead, not trusting him to take care of his ministry. And you might need to actually apologize to God and do that in writing and do that in prayer and say, God, I give it back to you. And then number two, thank God for placing you as the steward of his ministry. Think about all the good things that have happened and thank him for them. The children, the faithful workers that you do have, the heritage of the ministry, the supportive leaders, and be thankful for your position. You know, a lot of children's pastors, you know, I'll talk to them, they're complaining about the lack of support from the pastor and the elders, how no one appreciates them. And sometimes I want to stop them and say, what is your title? You're the children's pastor. Do you realize your church values children or they wouldn't have a children's pastor? Now, I understand that there are some people that are listening to this podcast and they are volunteers in a church and there is no money for children's ministry. There is no children's pastor. There is just very little appreciation for children's ministry and they are fighting an uphill battle to have any priority and resources and attention placed to children. And they're just screaming for some attention and resources and priority to be placed on children. But if you're a children's pastor, if you're getting a salary to focus on children, then your church does value children's ministry. I mean, the take your salary, as pathetic as you may believe it to be, that is an investment in children being paid to you. And you might wish your budget was bigger, but your salary is an allotment of money being invested in children through you. And sometimes we're a little bit too big of a martyr and not realizing that the investment in you is an investment in children, even though we wish it wasn't 12 hours a week, which is what my first job was, to run the entire children's ministry of a church on 12 hours a week, which was kind of pathetic. But it was a start. And then it grew to 20 hours and it grew to 30 hours. And it grew as I was able to and with the help of others, show the church that more was needed, but it was a start. And so sometimes we need to be thankful for the investment that is there, even though we know that it needs to grow. So be thankful for what we do have instead of always focusing on what we don't have. So number one, give the ministry back to God in prayer. Two, thank God for placing you as a steward of his ministry. Number three, make a list of the needs and or problems in God's ministry and begin to pray about them. It doesn't mean that you can't be honest about the needs that you have. So instead of it being God do this or God change that or God provide this, but instead ask God, what are you doing? These are the needs that I perceive and that I'm trusting you to reveal your plans through the answers to prayer or the no's as well as the yeses. So lay those things out and say, God, this is what I perceive needs to be done. And through your answers, yes or no, guide me as I try to lead your ministry. And so you genuinely do try to lead the ministry and to find answers to those problems. And so you do your best and you try to be the best leader you can. I mean, there's an awesome article this month in Children's Ministry Magazine by Dale Hudson, and he goes through 10 keys to effective leadership, and they're great, 10 keys. I'll read them really quick. Serve, relate, encourage, learn, equip, pray, grow, have integrity, praise, and be humble. So, I mean, you soak up leadership resources. You go through Kidology's online training. Maybe you get yourself a Kidology coach. I mean, you do everything you can to be the best leader. You don't just sit back and go, well, it's God's ministry. Guess I can play video games all day. No, you do everything you can to lead the ministry and you work with God. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you say, I've done everything I can do, but it's God's ministry. And so you just work with him. You're like a co-pilot. Number four, after giving the results of these things to God, make a list of the things you can do to work on them as God's steward. So what visits or calls or announcements can you make? How can you advertise, promote, or communicate the needs? Who can you invite to pray with you and with you and for you for those needs? So you're doing your part. You're making a list. You're doing your part. And then number five, for the things that God doesn't seem to be answering, ask and pray and think about what God could be up to. Is he testing your trust? Is he suggesting a new strategy? All right. So what you're doing is you're trying to see what is God up to, because sometimes your blueprint, your idea, this vision that you're creating, it's your plan, not God's plan. And sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board and say, OK, maybe God is up to something different. And you don't want to miss this really cool, creative thing that God's trying to do. And too often, you're trying to copy another ministry. You're trying to do exactly what you heard in a workshop at CPC. And God's saying, no, whoa. This is my ministry. And there's something really unique that I want to do because of the type of kids here, the demographic you're in, the economic situation that you're in, your unique gifts, the type of pastor you're working under, the volunteers that I'm bringing to you. I'm going to create something really unique right here. But in order to guide you to that, I've got to close a couple doors. I've got to say no to a couple things so that you can custom create an amazing ministry that will form disciples and lead people to Christ in the context of your ministry. But I can't do it unless you're paying attention to the doors I'm closing, the no's I'm giving you, the other yeses I'm giving you. But you got to be walking with me, not trying to shoehorn me into your idea of what the children's ministry is supposed to look like. So it's a partnership, and it's like a marriage between you and God, working together, listening to each other, talking to each other, dialoguing together, and you got to be willing to throw some stuff out that's your preconceived ideas. So you've got to quit trying to run the ministry and fit God in as your vending machine or your answer guy. He's not a volunteer in your ministry. It's his ministry, and you're working under him. So that's my cue for you today, is to quit trying to create your ministry and have God do stuff for you. And instead, I want you to subordinate yourself to his agenda and his idea of what he's trying to do in your ministry. And when you do that, you stop being stressed, because you start each day going, okay, God, what are you up to today? What answers you're going to give me? What hints are you going to give me? At the end of each day, you say, well, this is what God showed me today. I wonder what he's got for me tomorrow. And you become this ministry Jedi, unfazed by what comes your way, because you're no longer stressed out, because you're just a steward. You know, a steward kind of ran the castle when the king was off to battle. And ultimately, he wasn't responsible. The king was. And when you see yourself as a steward of the ministry instead of being in charge of the ministry, there's a peace that comes with that. And it's such a relief. Well, I promised you you'd get your job back. So you can take that business card and you can tape it back together, or you can just get another one out. And don't tell your boss you were fired. I rehire you. but I hire you back, or I commission you as a steward of your ministry, regardless of what your title is. You're a steward of the ministry, and God is the children's pastor, the director, administrator, coordinator, whatever title's on that business card. You're a steward of God's ministry there at your church or your ministry or wherever God has you serving. And if you keep that mindset, you will be too blessed to be stressed. Another classic from Creative Ministry Solutions. Gimme some blessing. Hey! Oh yeah.
Well, my hands are rising and my feet are on the floor. I'm loving my Jesus and I'm serving him more. All over the church, everybody's on their feet. We're worshiping Jesus and his spirit's so sweet. And I'm so glad I serve him. So glad I love him. Lord, won't you give me some blessing?
Give me some blessing.
Too blessed to be stressed, 'cause I'm a steward of my ministry. And you get blessings every day when you're serving the Lord and giving it back to Him without stressing over everything, because it is His ministry, not yours. Amen.
Hey, so glad I love him. Lord, won't you give me some blessing?
Give me some blessing.
Give me some blessing.
Give me some blessing.
Come on and give me some blessing.
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 And those are gimmies that are okay. Well, thanks again for listening to Kidman Talk. This is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. the Kidologist. Because I am a student of kids and the world. My mission is to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. I love to get your encouragement through Twitter at Kidman Talk, through email carl@kidmantalk.com, and especially through interacting in the forum, which is linked at the bottom of the show notes. Love to hear from you, and you can help shape the show with your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. Try to guess what next week's Kidman keyword is going to be with the next letter, the letter R. Until next time, this is Carl talking Kidman.